Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A number of years ago, when I would sit down to watch the television, every once in a while I would periodically turn into that National Geographic show entitled Dog Whisperer. Some of you may be familiar with that. And on the show, a man by the name of Cesar Millan, who was known as the Dog Whisperer, would teach dog owners how to master their pet, so to speak. He would come into situations in which the dog was too aggressive with other dogs, or was constantly pulling the owner as they would go for walks, or barking excessively, and so on. And he would teach the owners how to take control of the situation and how to correct their dog's unruly behavior. And one of the keys for making the dog obey the pet owner was for the pet owner to establish himself as the master of both the situation and of the animal. The dog must learn that the pet owner is in charge and not vice versa. And so it is for us as we address the matter of sin in our lives. In our Old Testament reading today, as God spoke with a very angry Cain. Angry because God looked with favor upon the offering that his brother Abel had given, which was given in faith. But God did not look with favor on his offering, which was a half-hearted offering at best. God said to him, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." God here describes sin in the language of an animal down on all four paws, waiting for its chance to pounce upon its prey. The Babylonian people used this same Hebrew term to refer to an evil demon who is crouching just outside the door, threatening all the people who were inside. God's use of this language to describe sin as an animal or as a demon who is waiting to pounce upon its prey to destroy us is also reflective of God's language in 1 Peter 5. Some of you may remember this, where the devil is described as a roaring lion who is roaming the earth looking for someone to devour. And thus, God exhorts Cain to do right and to live right. For when you don't do right and live right, you allow sin to become your master rather than you being sin's master. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? Paul recognized this in Romans 7 when he said, "I have the desire to do what is right, what is good, but I cannot carry it out." And this was Paul, the great apostle, the Pharisee among Pharisees talking here. Now, it wasn't selfish Cain or greedy Judas or arrogant Pharaoh talking. This was the apostle Paul, who somehow had not yet mastered his sin. But he was working on it. And thus, he told the Ephesian Christians that the way to master sin and the way to master the forces of evil was by donning oneself with the full armor of God, which is the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And then Paul further tells Timothy that the Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation, and that the Scriptures are useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness in order to equip us for every good work. Or maybe to say that in the way of our text today, to equip us to do right and to equip us to have mastery over sin. So, all that we have to do to master sin, to make sin listen to us instead of us listen to sin, all that we have to do is to learn the Scriptures, follow the Scriptures, and obey the Scriptures in all that we do and say. That's it. And then we'll have put on the full armor of God, and thus we will be fully protected from sin. Nothing to it, right? You know, it doesn't seem like doing right should be that difficult. But it is. Because the moment that doing the right thing conflicts with the convenient thing, or the easy thing, or the beneficial thing, or the expedient thing, the temptation is always there to do the wrong thing, as we saw in the case of Cain. See, Cain took the easy way. He took the cheap way, the lazy way, the way that didn't really require any amount of faith or sacrifice on his part. And thus, he didn't do what was right. And while knowing the Scriptures and growing in the Scriptures will certainly help train a person in righteousness, it will not and it cannot help a person thoroughly master sin. And again, the Apostle Paul is a testament to that. And the reason is, as we confess almost every Sunday morning, because we were born sinful and unclean. Sin had mastery over us before we ever took our first breath or had our first thought. Sin had mastery over us the moment that Adam and Eve succumbed to Satan's temptation in the Garden of Eden. And no amount of learning or studying or sacrificing can ever change the fact that we were born slaves to sin. And thus, if we are going to have mastery over sin and be empowered to do right, it will not come from within us or be produced by us. And no amount of willpower or effort or tenacity can ever change that. And thus our need for Jesus. Jesus is the one who conquered sin through his death on the cross, conquered death by his rising from the grave. We can only master sin as we come to Jesus in faith, the one who has forgiven us of our sin. For as long as sin is part of who we are, it will always, always get the better of us. But through baptism into Christ Jesus, our old sinful nature was put to death, and a new nature was created in us, a new nature which reflects the nature of God and which clings to Jesus as our Savior. Our only hope to ever master sin, our only hope to do the right thing, is to live and to believe in Jesus. I'd like to close our message this morning by reading once again Paul's words in Romans 6 that we had read as our epistle reading this morning. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Thanks be to God for the sacrifice and the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.